Why is it that we can do that at camp meetings and conferences when we don't know anybody? We come back in our own church and, oh, we have to be so, oh, prim and proper. There's a thing called peer pressure, and we talk to our children about that, don't we? Well, I'm talking to my little sheep about that now. Amen? Time to be free. Let God be what He wants to be in you. I've had people come to me and say, oh, man, I just felt like dancing. I thought, well, why didn't you? Why didn't you come up here and dance? It's okay. That's the freedom that we have in Jesus. Amen? And it's okay. So don't be intimidated. Don't be controlled by those that are next to you. Well, what are they going to think? You know, I really don't give a rip what they think. Are you here to please God or to please man? We're here to please God. And you know, if He tells you to do something, even in little things like that, it may seem little to you, but you better obey. It's just time to obey God. Whatever He tells you to do, whether it's to dance, run around the building. I was at a conference this last week, and the worship leader took off a running. I mean, well, we thought, well, so much for worship. You know, everybody just got right in there. And then in a minute, here's a man started running around the building. He used to be in our church. I thought, glory to God, because I never saw him do that when they lived here. He just took off like a, I don't know, like a shot out of a cannon. And away he went. You know, and nobody, we never didn't turn around and follow him all the way around. He was just obeying God. Everybody just entered into worship, and God just came into the place. So that's what happens when we obey God. So if God moves on you, I don't know why I'm doing this, but if God moves on you, obey Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Gary, praise God. Aren't you thankful that He's here? Amen. It's been a blessing. Just been a blessing. So God bless Amen. You.
No. But no. That thing's possessed, by the way. I'm on right here. I got red showing. Am I on? Okay. Give me your hand. Tondiste de breno corre man, diste de costa de bronde de brosta gifra. Bristandore man ste de ne brosta de branco fram probuca distanda. Branstonana griste de kinanata. Consodore masto do crediste. Bransto dorre matere brofre beter and rapor busta de casta. Oh, yeah, I call you an ambassador. I call you ambassador of goodwill. A spiritual ambassador sent out to do good. A spiritual ambassador sent out to make change. A spiritual ambassador sent to usher in things that should be tore down and things that should be lifted up. For the days ahead, says the Lord, are good and bright, and they are strong days. Good days, days of reckoning, days of accountability for the church. For you shall carry, says the Lord, an accountability spirit. And for those that get in your presence, my presence will come, says the Lord, and I will begin to render an accounting. And the presence of God will come. And it will usher in, says the Lord, it will usher in an accountability. For you shall be known as the mother of accountability. You shall be known as the mother of order. And when your feet touch in a place, the order of God follows you and precedes you. And when you declare, says God, my word and my truth, what I put up on your heart, my order shall be instilled, and things shall change. Things shall change. Things shall change. And you will declare, and then also begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy those things that are in your spirit. And when you feel the unction and you feel the urge to declare, says God, begin to declare. Because as you do, I will bring forth clarity and I will bring forth understanding as never before through your lips, through your heart, and through your mind. And not only will it minister to others, but it'll minister to you. For the days ahead, there's going to be a more of a move of the supernatural. There's going to be a more of the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in this place in preparation. In preparation to prepare this church for the new model, the things ahead, says the Lord. And oh, yeah, it'll be done supernaturally. It'll be done supernaturally. And man won't do it, but God'll do it, says God. And you will watch me, and you will remark, and you will know, and says, yeah, we remember when God said that. We remember when God said that. And you will mark it, and you will note it, and you will watch it come to pass, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you for it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I want to share something with you. The days ahead, we're fixing to get hit again. I'm talking about terrorist wise or those people. Because right now, the enemy is very upset what has happened. Are you listening to me? And you need to begin to pray for the outcome of this. It's coming. We can't deter it. And the will of those that said, God has turned many attacks that, you know, they've been thwarted. But this one's going to get through, and it's going to hurt some folks. It's going to kill some folks. And we now need to begin to intercede that it does not terrorize this nation. Are you with me? 9/11 hurt us, but it didn't terrorize us. We mourned as a nation, but we're going to get hit again. And it's very soon. And I'm telling you right now, you need to begin to intercede for the outcome. Are you with me in this? The intercessors, listen to me. I've asked God, God, can we not turn it? Can we not turn it? Show us. Show the prophets. Show what's going on. And we can't turn it. We can't turn it. So I'm telling you, I dread it, but it's coming. Another thing is that I believe this. You need to begin to intercede already now for the presidential election in 2008. Six is crucial, but eight is detrimental. And you need to begin now. But I believe Rudy Giuliani will be our next president after Bush. And he'll bring some good, but he'll bring some bad. And you need to begin to intercede. But there's a new liberalism that's beginning to try to attach itself to the country. It's beginning a socialism. And listen to me. It's very important that we hush that out very quickly in intercession. We do not want that taking root in our country, because young men and women, just like in the 60s, will run with it. They don't even know what they're doing, but it'll hit colleges and universities, and it'll divert what God wants to do. Are you listening to me? And the other night it manifested in Connecticut. And a leading senator who's been in office for many, many, many years was put out like that. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So it's real. But we can pray it out. We can pray it out. So I'm telling you right now, you need to mark these things down and know what God's saying. And he said, can you miss it? Yeah, I can miss it. I've missed it. We'll miss it. But I believe there's some things getting ready to happen. And the Lord has encouraged me. I've held back on a lot of things. I don't, you know, and he's spoken to me. You need to begin to share what I'm sharing with you. But pray the outcome of these things will not turn the economy. Mm-hmm. Are you with me in this? Also, we need to begin to pray for an energy policy in this nation. Greed has stopped an energy policy in this nation. Greed. And God is wanting it to change, and we need to pray it into existence through the right people, through the right voices. I don't know how, but he does. Are you with me? Because we've got to secure our future in some things. And you say, well, man, listen, read the Bible. People were involved. The greatest leaders of the world were involved in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Go back and read your history. What do you think we got common law for? A priest that heard God that said people have rights. Yeah. Go back and read your history. How many times the church has been involved in government and been involved in the outcome for humanity? It don't just happen, folks. It's because godly people move with godly conviction and things change. We should have the mayor of this city in this church. Are you with me? That means one of you. One of you should be on the city council or whatever form of government you have here. But we need to be influencing the city and the world wherever God puts us. Amen.
Amen?
And I appreciate you guys very much, but I'm telling you, there's change coming. And we got to get ready for the change. And anyway, it's good. How many agree with me?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 10. Some of you are learning something. I got a little change of direction. I kind of felt like I was supposed to go to, you know how you do. And anyway, Spirit of God, what are you laughing at? Caught you, didn't I? I love it. It's already starting, oh Lord Jesus. I like you guys very much. You're fun. You've been trained very well, I'm telling you. You know what happened? I was in a church one time, and it's an African American church, and I was the only white boy in place. And it's a very large church. This guy, a friend of mine, you know, we're spinning, and I mean, honey, that Hammond 2B organ starts and they just run and dance, and I'm just sitting there like this, watching. So this pastor friend of mine, we've been friends for many years, and he told me, we walked out after we were out to dinner, And went to Houston's restaurant. Man, that'll bring spirit of prophecy just walking in there, man. They got the most best ribs I've ever had anywhere. Well, anyway, we were in there talking. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, you're the most administrative guy, prophetic guy I know. But he said, you ain't got no soul at all. And he said, it's okay to run when people run, especially when it's corporate. And I thought, okay, so next night, I don't know, it stirs up again. And it's not traditional in this church. Are you with me? A lot of times, he didn't allow it to be traditional. He don't allow, like he said, I don't allow black folk to do what black folk do. That's what he says it. He said, we don't want to do what God wants us to do. But anyway, we got in there, and I don't know what happened. It just started stirring again. And I got to watching his grandmother. His grandmother and his mama sat right on the front row. And his grandmother, it's like she's Radar. Remember Radar and MASH? He'd holler choppers before choppers got there? Well, she's like Radar in the spirit. You know something's coming when she unbuckles her purse and gets her hanky out, getting ready. And I've learned that. And I watch her. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. Because she did it the night before. And I thought, and it wouldn't probably 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And here it comes. Came like a wave from the back toward the front. And when it did, I'm telling you. Remember JJ on Good Times, yeah. Remember? This guy looked just like JJ. And he started. Some of y'all kids, youngers, don't know who JJ is anyway. Whatever. And anyway, he's a guy with years. He said Dynamite, right? Back in the 70s. But anyway, guy looked just like JJ. And man, he started. And honey, I'm telling you, he could cut a rug anybody ever seen in my life. And it started. And the Lord said, dance! I ain't dancing. It ain't in me, God. He said, dance! And he said these words. He said, if you were at an Arkansas Razorback game, which I'm a Hog fan, he said, if you were at an Arkansas Razorback game, and he said, they scored, he said, you'd yell. He said, don't I deserve better? But he taught me, and it got in me, and God said to me, he said, the power of revealed knowledge, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. The power of revealed knowledge, where it'll take you, what it'll do for you. The Holy Ghost will do in your life. It'll correct you, it'll heal you. It'll change you as a person. And Lee said to me here a while back, she said, you don't share a lot, baby. You don't share a lot out of the experiences and the visions you've had and a lot of these things. But she said, I want to tell you, you've got to start teaching this generation. Because I never really thought about much about it. I just thought there's people around to do that. But I want to talk about the power of revealed knowledge and some things that are there. And what it'll do for you, and how it'll lead you into success, how it'll take you beyond you, and how it'll equip you to be what God needs you to be. Acts 10, the notice. Now, we read that this morning. So let's read verse 10. But he became very hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, a trance came over him. And he saw the sky open, and something like a great sheet lowered by the four corners, descending to the earth. And it contained all kinds of quadrupeds and wild beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common, unhallowed, or ceremonially unclean. And the voice came to him again the second time. What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not defile or profane by regarding or calling common or unhallowed or unclean. This occurred three times. And immediately the sheet was taken up into heaven. Now Peter was still inwardly perplexed and doubted as to what the vision could mean when just then, behold, the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who had made inquiry of Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. And they called out and inquired whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and heart, meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about its legality. or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them. Now, the revealed word of God, the supernatural revealing of God, will open up your future. Give you an example. Lee and I came, we had a little, I guess in 1989, we came back to the States, and we took about a year period to where we just stopped. And I went into sales, went into marketing, and loved it. God started teaching me, started in preparation. We talked about, I've had all kinds of different events and courses in my life where God trained and taught me, prepared me for my future. Well, while I was one day there, and I was out on my territory, I was passing right by Charles Cat Farm in England, Arkansas, right on the highway. And it was full commission, cold call, and I loved it. I really got to where I thoroughly enjoyed it. But as I was passing there, the Iron Curtain had just come down, and I was listening to the radio, and I mean, it was, you know, it had been Gorbachev, and you know what I mean, the thing with Reagan, and of course now Bush Sr. had taken the reins, and he was implementing some of these changes. And I was 89 or 90 right in there. And anyway, there was a conversation going between some guy that they were using rock music, real extreme Christian rock music, to get into the Eastern Bloc. And I mean, thousands were being saved. And they were planting churches. They didn't mean to. While this guy was talking, I hollered out, kind of said out loud in my truck. I said, "Well, that's not God." And, oh, let me tell you something. Did you ever have your parents call your middle name? Well, when my parents, when I heard Jerry, it was okay. But when I ever heard Jerry Winston from my parents or my grandparents, my maimaw especially, I was named after Winston. The beating was getting ready to happen. Because I knew I had been pushed the threshold of grace, mercy, and all combined. Well, I heard my middle name and more at that moment. And the Spirit of God came in my truck. And it, any guys ever been sucker punched? I got sucker punched in a game one time. A basketball game. The guy nailed me, man. I mean, there's nothing you can do. And, man, I got sucker punched by the Holy Spirit. And it hit me so hard, I had to wheel over. I was in the middle of nowhere, out in eastern Arkansas. And he said to him, the voice came in my truck. And he said to me, "Don't you dare call unclean, or don't you call the things that I'm doing not right." He said, "You don't know the changes I'm getting ready to make in you, and you don't know your future. And by the way, I'm going to send you a generation in the future," and he said, "You're going to father them." And man, it hit me, and I repented right there. It hit me so hard, I started crying. And I couldn't drive my truck. And I listened to that guy. Well, that thing is manifested in the P21. Our website's www.purpose21.com. And man, it's getting funkier and funkier, but it's to reach this generation. And I mean, I know we're going to have Christian rock bands in Espanol. We're getting ready to do something. And all I know is that God said, well, that started then. And there's been a process of time that God has slowly evolved Lee and I and trained and taught us to fulfill what we're called to do. And I know that this generation to come will be the most powerful. I mean, it's in me. I mean, I didn't ask for it, didn't pray for them. You know what I'm saying? I did. But it jumped in me, and God said, "There. There's your future." Now, we see Peter having a supernatural experience with God. But you notice it says he went out to about the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. to pray. So first of all, you have to avail yourself to God. You have to avail yourself to God. Let's go to Matthew 16. Verse Verse 13 says, "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they answered, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say yourselves say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood men have not revealed it.'" Now notice what he says, "men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, we have what we call natural knowledge, then we have God's knowledge. Are you with me? Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll come back to this. Ephesians chapter 1. Is it okay if I do a little teaching? Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's saying here, verse 17, he said, I always pray to the Lord of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets. That's the Amplified. Y'all have the Amplified up there? Or you get to know. But listen to this. This is the Greek. "For I always pray to the Lord of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom." Now notice that's a little S. Is that a big S or a little S? Now, that means your spirit. Now, does it come from the Holy Spirit? Yes, but how many knows where spirit, soul, and body? Y'all know that here. Spirit of what? And? Now, what is that? Right, but what does it mean? Of insight into mysteries and secrets. The wisdom of God. So there is the natural side of things, but then there's the supernatural. How many believe God has wisdom? Read 2 Chronicles 8 and 9 sometimes about the life of Solomon and how he built out of wisdom. It says that he increased. It says he knew about, they used to come to hear him and it talked about, he knew about the fish of the sea. God's wisdom equips you naturally in this earth. So there's a revealing that God wants to do in you and through you. He wants to talk to you with a knowledge, with a word that's beyond your natural understanding. But it now notice this. Verse 18. "By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light." Now notice the next verse. "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Now, is that natural eyes or spiritual eyes? So how many have two eyes? Now how many of you are having to get more the trombone effect? You know what I'm saying? But honestly, here we go. But notice this. "By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which you've been called." Now, there's a purpose for this revealed knowledge. It works in all arenas. I'll give you an example. God's given me, I get led to situations to where I help people broker. I put deals together. I bring parties together. And one of the things that I did is that I did a presentation to the city of San Antonio about two and a half years ago. They called me. And they said, "We've heard about you, and we would like you to do a breakfast here, and we're going to invite the city or whoever they're inviting, and we want you to talk about how to do business in Mexico." Well, and I told the lady, I said, "Ma'am, let me tell you, I'm not qualified." I said, "You know, I don't have any degrees on the wall that I've trained in to do that." And she said, "Mr. Batt," she said, "I've got plenty of people with degrees available for factual information." She said, "I have an array of factual information at my fingertips," but she said, "I know very few people who have done it and who live it." I said, "Well, okay, ma'am, I just want you to know I don't want to I don't have a PhD on the law. But she said, you've done it. And she said, you've helped people succeed in doing it. And that's why I'd like for you to come. Well, I went in there, did a presentation. They kind of gave me an outline or format what they wanted, did it, went well. Well, the door opened. The door opened. Are you with me? And it, bam, all of a sudden, somebody walks up to me and says, hey, you've done great and helped companies going to Mexico. Now, what about, would you think about helping a Mexican company come to the U.S. market? Well, that never entered my mind all my life. Well, make a long story short, that relationship worked out. And God said, I'm going to empower you, but you have to let me lead you. So I went down, the door opened, and anyway, I put it together, put a marketing plan together, and make a long story short, went in, I was ministering in Montgomery, Alabama. And you know the people. And the Lord said, He said, go to Destin, Florida, and I'll give you a contact. He said, go prowl around there. Well, I was already ministering in Destin. So I just spent a couple days prowling around. Make a long story short, I landed a huge contract. Revealed knowledge. I closed on it Thursday. Is this Sunday? Thursday, yeah. They called me. It's the first phase of 500,000 and something square feet. Anyway, you don't mean that. But anyway, bottom line is it worked. And so Lee calls me. She says, well, how's that thing going, you know? Because when I do all these things, and sometimes for years or days, you know what I mean, I'll try to put them together. She has no interest. But when they start getting ready to cash in, she wants to know all the details. She said, now tell me about this person, baby. I said, Bubba, you wouldn't know him. You wouldn't understand what I'm doing. But she says, all I care about is how much we're going to get. I said, I ain't going to tell you that. You ain't had no interest in it all the way up to this period of time. She goes, tell me, boy. But you know what? Well, here's revealed knowledge. See, guys like me think there's something when you get a little power. That's a fact. You just think you're something on a stick. I'm just telling you the truth. I know me. I know guys like me. So I'm praying this out one day, and God said to me, I got a grace to make money. Things come, ever since I've been a kid, things have come across my path. You ever heard of Hot Springs Village in Arkansas? Over in Hot Springs? Well, you know, Jim Landers was the guy that helped start all that. Well, he was a friend of my pawpaw. He hired me at 18 years old to go to work for him, but that, there was nothing but woods out there. Jim, he worked for, yeah, you know Landers. He worked for Jim Landers. That's their all family. In fact, Jim sold used cars when he got invited to go into this. And I'm telling you right now, they went up there in Hot Springs Village, and he told me, he said, you can start with it. He hired me at 18 years old. Thank God for Pastor Caldwell. He pulled me out. He jerked a slack out of me so quick and said, what are you doing? And Terry got on me. Terry Nance, y'all probably don't know him, but anyway, he's... Oh, has he? Okay, I didn't know he'd been here. Okay. Man, they said, what are you doing? You want to miss God for your life? You know how much money I make? Well, that revealed knowledge came. I was driving over there Sunday morning. I'll never forget, Jim said, come on over. I'll introduce you to everybody. Never forget it. He said, of course, you know, in those days, it was a Datsun 280Z. That baby went home, and I was ready to buy one. My papa said, you land that job, boy? And he said, I'll get you one. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was driving in the car. Never forget it. Never forget it. And I was driving over there, and I was getting ready to, anyway, driving, getting ready to hit Highway 5 out of Benton. And the word of the Lord came in my car. And I almost puked. You ever had a heaving moment? Something that make you upset? It hit me so hard. And he said, I heard the voice say, where are you going? I mean, it was that loud. And the fear of the Lord came. He said, "What are you doing?" And he just stopped me right there. And I said, "Sir." And I said these words, "You know how much money I can make?" Because, see, what I had been understood about faith and what I had thought was, you know, pretty well, you just controlled the reins and you had a covenant and you could just do what you wanted to do. And the whole objective of your spiritual outlookies were how much money you could deal and wheel and deal. And the Lord said to me, it's plain, I'll never forget, He said, "Your concept is wrong." He said, "If you do this," He said, "it will shorten," and He said, "it will sort your future for what I have. I told you I want you to go to ORU. Now, it scared me so bad. Everybody was going, "Do it, do it." But that voice came. And I'm telling you right now, that revealed knowledge will save your life. It'll change your direction. And it'll help you. It's helped me have a marriage. And I would hear the Spirit of God say, "Flirt with your wife." You say, "Oh, He didn't say that." Okay. 21 years and going strong. I love that woman. She did love me. She's my best friend. But man, in the early years, we had to grow together. And she would frustrate me so bad. But see, she came out of a divorce situation growing up. She brought baggage in our marriage. And when she'd get upset, she'd say these words, "You're like your dad. You're like my daddy." I'd say, "In hell's name, I'm like your daddy. I'm not like your daddy." And see, she'd withdraw, and I'd say, "You know what, to hell with you. To hell with your whole family, all of you, because you're all screwed up. You got a lot of money, but you're really all screwed up. You don't know what true love is if it walked in the door and slapped you." And I'd leave. I had enough. I'm not letting you leave, but I'm talking about, you got to get away or you're going to do something dumb. As soon as my feet had hit that outside that door, the intercessor came. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Ain't none of your business, really. And man, I'll never forget. He'd say to me, he'd say, "Gary," I mean, plain as day, the intercessor would come. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, that revealed knowledge, would start talking to me. And he'd say, "Gary," I mean, just plain, easy. It's like Terry's voice, very gentle. He'd say, "Gary, I have to show you how to heal the heart of your wife." I mean, now when you're 25, 26 years old, and I would say, and I mean, I would just talk out loud. I know people think I've been an idiot because I do talk out loud sometimes in the car, but that presence will come. And I said, "God," I said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, she starts accusing me, and I said, "I want to knock her into next year because I didn't do anything. She won't talk to me until it gets just." And I'm not the most bright guy in the world. I've told her, she's agreed, if I do something that she doesn't like, she will sit down and talk about it. We'll lay it out. And that's, she won't do that. And I said, "I just screw the whole mess." Okay? I wouldn't raise this way. And all of a sudden, that voice would come back and say, "Well, what did I do for you? At the cross." And he said these words. He said, "If you'll let me, I'll show you how to nurture her out of that into what she needs to be. And man, it worked. It gave me patience. Because, see, I had that revealed word. And he would say to me, Gary, it's not you. You know what I mean? I wasn't perfect, but it, you know. So the next time, you know there's going to be a next time. And see, I had an anger issue, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get angry until you just push. And we're working this out. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been there, done that, got a t-shirt? And she said, you're not my dad. I looked at her and I said, tell me why I'm like your dad. Tell me how. Well, you do this. And I said, well, let's talk about it. Let's see what I did. So we can get an understanding. I need to change. I got to change. Tell me what I did. Explain it. Explain it in detail. Because I'm not getting it. And I'm willing to listen and change. I said, produce the evidence. And you know what? She couldn't. And I said, all you're doing is having a reaction to your insecurity. And we started talking things out. And eventually, after a period of time, she would say to me, I am sorry that I said those words to you. You are not like my dad. She said, you're the first person I've ever had in my life that loved me uncompromised. Now, we're exploding in growth, God's blessing, all those things, whatever. But we had to walk out that relationship. Revealed knowledge did that for us. And then the Lord has told me many times how to get people out of situations. Our neighbor was going to die. We didn't really know him that well. We tried, but we didn't really know him. I was mowing the grass, and the Lord said, what's your name? I was fixing to die very soon. You need to get Lee over there and make sure she's born again. So I told Lee, and Lee said, you know, that's really been weird. I kind of had that feeling too. And I said, well, baby, I don't have entrance over there. You do. They like you. They tolerate me. And I hadn't done really nothing to do anything. You know what I mean? Just. She got over there, and we made sure Lee prayed a sinner's prayer. And it wasn't no time at all. She went to heaven. Time after time after time, revealed knowledge will save your life. When I got, I don't, are you learning something or am I just? When I got ready to get into some of the stuff we're stepping into right now, the Lord spoke to my heart very strongly and said, hey, you're not to handle the money. You're to direct it, but you're not to handle it. Because he said, that's where guys like you get off. We're sitting at a light one day. We got the kids in the back, Lee sitting there. I don't know what happened. In fact, we're going to wear the horse. I'll never forget it. She looks at me, she turns over, and she has this look in her eye. Like, I know I'm going to get chewed on, gnawed on. You know what, you're just being gnawed on, guys? I'm fixing to get gnawed on. And she says this. She said, I want to tell you something right now. Oh, Doctor, what'd I do? She said, shut up and listen. I'm going to tell you something right now. She said, if you think I'm going to let you go down with all this like we've seen a lot of other people, she said, you're wrong. She said, you mess with me, and she said, I'll go write the biggest check, and she said, I'll bankrupt you if I ever see it getting out of hand. She said, I'm not involved in this unless I control the finances. You can direct them, but I control them. And I know where it goes and what it's going to do. Because she said, guys like you screw up when it happens like that. And you get power in your hands. Listen to me. She said, many of your predecessors, if they had done this when they started, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in today. If they had accountability in their life. And see, we established boundaries a long time ago. Lee said, I don't care who, I don't care if it's Kim. You never go out and eat with a woman by yourself. You don't flirt. You hear me? You don't flirt. And see, we've set boundaries in our lives, so we've already premeditated what we will do in situations. I will not commit adultery. I've already set the boundary of what I'm going to do. I refuse. I will run. Did your flesh want to? Sure. But your 2-minute thrill will cost you your whole life. The guilt alone will take you out. You have to, but that revealed knowledge will do this for you. It will warn you. Give you an example. Sitting on an American Airlines flight going back into San Diego. It's late. Plane's very empty. I bumped up to first class because I was just tired. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, you know, was dealing with my heart on some things. And I was praying. And, you know, there was a blonde-headed lady on there, very nice-looking lady. She was about probably 5 or 6 years older than me. She was married to a retired bird. She just had a 2-year-old son. She said he was an accident. But we love him, and there was nothing there or nothing. She sat down right beside me and crossed the aisle. Just started talking. We started talking about her husband's career and what he was doing now. He's an airline pilot. And we did nothing, no big deal. And man, she no more propped her blessed assurance in that chair, and my buzzer went on the inside. And I mean, I'll never forget. While she's talking, I heard that little voice going off right there. And he said, what are you doing? And in my brain, I said, what do you mean? I'm not doing anything. She's the one that sat down. I know, but he said, you need to cut it off, and you need to cut it off now. And I said these words. I said, God, I'm not going to get in the sack with her. He said, that's not what I'm telling you for. He said, you're violating a boundary that you and your wife established. And you just say, I had no intent, had no purpose, I'm trying to give you before God. But that's how things start. Thank God for that revealed knowledge. It works. It will lead you into spiritual success. And I just kindly, just slowly turned that, and I started saying, yes, ma'am. You know, I said, sure, I understand. I just started pulling stuff out of my briefcase. Never forget it. There was a guy sitting by me, and she saw that, and she just got it, and we never talked again. I then just said, you know, bye, whatever. There's been time after time that revealed knowledge has come in my life and in others that I know to save their life. Saves marriages. It'll get you out of debt. It'll cause your business to succeed. It'll prepare your future. Because see, God's always available, but many times what happens is we allow the word. Go to Mark chapter 4. I'll show you what happens. Anybody learning anything? We'll look at verse 14. The sower sows the word. Verse 15. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. And in the same way, the one sown on stony ground are those who hear, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of this age and the pleasure and the delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and the passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now notice that. Then the cares and anxieties of this world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. And the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. Now, where is your priority? Because if you allow these things to creep in, they will choke the word. They will make your spiritual life fruitless. And you will be a Christian in name only. A lot of people caught up in the message of prosperity are caught up in greed and in the deceitfulness of riches. Now, is there true prosperity? Yes. Does God want us blessed? Listen, if you'll just tithe and give, you will be blessed. But a lot of people are in false pursuits, not guided by the Spirit, but guided by their flesh. And they consider their spiritual success is when they have a full bank account. If you're striving for money, you're striving for the wrong thing. You've got to strive for the will of God first. Then He will lead you into success. Everybody's talking about lead you into success. But you've got to avoid the trappings of the world. Now, we don't hear this a lot in church. But you've got to live a holy life. I'm not talking about perfect. My God. If it took perfect, I'd be at the back of the line. But you've got to live a holy life. And holiness is really the ability to say no. I say no to greed. And the reason, you know how I started saying no to greed is because I put the voices around me that if they see it coming in my life, they'll say, Gary, you said to say, and I'm telling you, I see it. Because, see, many times you can be lulled there. See, I read an article here the other day. It's called Emotional Adultery. A lot of people in the workplace talk with their counterparts like they should be talking with their wife or their husband. It's big. No. You got to guard your heart. Well, I can't talk to my husband or my wife. Then find the appropriate person you can talk to. Am I just talking? I'm wanting you to go to the new model here. But there can be hindrances in your life that will stop God's progress. Because it's not about how much money you have. It's not about, it don't matter who you are. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is you obey and please God. My life is not my own. Your life is not your own. The deceitfulness of riches will come in and it'll grab you. Pride, arrogance. You see, how do you keep those things out? By that revealed knowledge. Because that little voice will come and that little conviction will come and say, hey, you. And all you do is just make adjustments. And repentance means change. Sometimes you learn that voice will tell you to avoid issues. I don't go to a lot of family events. I got a bunch of family down. I mean, they know everything. But they're so broke, they mortgage the outhouse. You know what I'm saying? They just... Listen to me. I just avoid things. I don't allow, I've not allowed mother-in-laws. I've got a great mother-in-law, but I've put a boundary on my mother-in-law. I love her with all my heart. She's a very good woman. But I've put a boundary on how much she works to control my wife. She changed all the pots and pans and dishes in my wife's kitchen because she didn't think it was right. And Lee just took it, and I blew. Like when them oil wells, you know, squirt up real high. And I told her, I said, you ain't going to make a thing, I will. This is your house. It's first my house. I'm the one that makes the stinking mortgage. I'm the one that makes sure everything's done. So the bottom line, it's mine. Yay or nay, you like it or not, that's the way it is. But second of all, it's yours because I've delegated it. And I've told you to run this white thing any way you want to. I don't tell you the pictures to put on the wall. I don't tell you how to arrange your kitchen. I don't tell you nothing. I let this be your nest. And nobody else is going to come in here and tell you how to do it. So you got a choice. Either you deal with it or I'm going to deal with it. And by the way, next word is said about your grandfather, and they bring up the history of him and all this to you for 30, 40 years back all the time, and they relive that, relive that. I said, next time something's said, I'm going to say something. I don't like the guy either, but it's gossip, and it keeps you upset because it reminds you of where you came from. And God said, Paul said, we have to forget the past and embrace the future. I had a conviction. So she went down and says, Mom, please don't do that again. Please respect our home. Are you with me? And there have been times I've been out of work. And Lee said, baby, I need to talk to you. But I would not allow anything in our doors to come toward Lee or those three kids. You say, how do you know? Because I listen right there. And I knew every house my kids went to, their friends. There's a lot of relatives they never spent the night invited them over 100 times. I just say, nope. Well, I'm the blankety blank. That's fine. I don't care. But you know what? I got three great healthy kids. And I knew they had a godly heritage, and it can take one event to turn that in their life. A seed can go so deep in them that we don't know about. But see, that witness always protect. Lee and I listen to that. And sometimes by family pressure, you would go against it. When Ryan was little, we let in-laws keep him. But guess what happened? We didn't know they were giving him a little bit of toddy to help him go sleep. Well, sure, it could be. You know, not knock me out. My little 4-year-old son is going deer hunting with his grandfather, and they're down at the deer camp. And there's pornography everywhere. And my little boy is putting the book, and he goes, Papa, what's that? And I told Lee, I said, that don't work. Are you with me? We don't know what seeds in him. So we're at Las Vegas. How many boys got hormones? Anybody learn anything? I want you to get this. God will save your life. There's a literature on the ground. Lee and I have a timeshare there. We lived in San Diego. It was a 5-hour drive. A lot of fun. So we're sitting there, and some literature advertising something, you know, not godly. And I saw both boys go, and their head didn't come up. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, expose it and expose it now. So I just picked it up. I said, hey, what do you think? They're kind of nice, aren't they? And they went, Dad. I said, you know what this is? I said, false hope. I said, fantasy being sowed. I said, let me ask you, would you want to marry her? No, Dad. So I said, that's somebody's daughter. Maybe somebody's wife. And all the fantasy. And I said, she's probably got silicone in there anyway. And Chase goes, well, what's that? And I said, well, I'll let Mama explain that. So when we got home, the truth. Lee sat down with the Discovery Channel. One, you know what I mean, those channels to wear. And they did an operation. And she made both boys plant on the couch and say, we're going to watch this and I want to show you what happened. And Chase goes, God, I bet that hurts. But see, we took away that fantasy, and I took away any potential of that seed to say, guys, listen, you got a choice here. All this stuff's going to come across your path, and it's there. That revealed knowledge. I don't want your lives destroyed. So this stuff will eat you like a cancer baby. It's called an addiction. And once it gets a hold of you, tough. You got to stay away from it. It'll pull on you. But you got to learn now the dangers. Well, see, from then on, we just taught our boys, hey, it's going to come across, but what decisions you make will determine your future. Are you listening? But see, the Holy Spirit, that moment, that time, standing on the Las Vegas Strip, checked me and said, hey, deal with it and deal with it now. Instead of getting religious. Boys, don't look at that. See, we just exposed it for what it was. The Holy Spirit will expose things in your life if you'll let it. The reason I'm talking to you like this is because the enemy will try to thwart the new model. You're to carry out this new model. Let me tell you, if you're having sex before marriage, you know the only way you can stop is by conviction. Because it's too good. If you're an adulterer, the only way you can stop it really is by conviction. Something greater than you that says don't do it. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Am I just talking? I'll tell these kids that come down with us all the time, I said, sex is a wonderful, great thing. I'm just telling you the truth. But there are just boundaries with it. And I have rules, no fondling. I'm sure you have kids that they're all over each other. You know what I'm saying? They come on these trips. And you have to say, in degeneration, no fondling, no touching. If I see you touching, you're gone. But the only way you can really stop is with conviction. And it's a shame, most of our youth pastors won't preach conviction because they're afraid of losing kids. And they want a numeric value instead of a pure generation. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way you can stop. It's sin. If you're doing it, stop. Because if you don't stop doing it, it'll cost you greatly, and it might even send you to hell. Because Paul told Peter in Galatians 2, Peter, even you can be a castaway. Now, that might mess with your doctrine, so be it. But the Bible says certain people will have their part in the lake of fire. The rapture is not for everybody who says, Jesus is my Lord. The rapture, the Bible says, is for those who are living an overcoming life. You may disagree with that. That's fine. But there is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will hold you accountable for what you do. And you've got to get that in you, because you're going to have to give that to others, and that's a standard in political correctness. Whatever you want to do, politics, nothing changes the truth. And that people don't want to be held accountable. And if you're going to be a model in the future, one of the things you're going to have is the ability, when the Bible says, or when the Spirit of God says to you, speak truth, that truth will bring judgment. People may not like that. Do you agree with me or not agree? It's a fact. You got to know how God feels about the matter before you can change. Because godly sorrow worketh repentance. It'll free you. Amen. Woo! Glory be to God. Am I right or am I wrong? Where are you going? What are you wanting to do? Because I'm telling you, you don't know yet the responsibility is getting ready to come into your hands. And you're going to have to minister to people in the world. And those people in the world bring spirits with them. They bring baggage with them. And if you don't got your act together, it'll hurt you. It can hinder you. Are you? How many are willing to listen to this revealed knowledge? Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. That's what His job is. He's called the Paraclete. The one alone to come stand, the aider, stand at the side and help you. A lot of times we forget about that. That revealed knowledge is there. They'll show you how to solve a problem. Some of you already probably got testimonies. I couldn't figure it out on the tractor and I prayed and God showed me what to do. Or whatever. Save your life. I can tell you story after story after story. How God intervened. I mean, He told me one time to stop and I pulled over and if I hadn't, I'd been right in the middle of a huge wreck. I listened. Thank God I listened. I heard one time I was doing flying lessons. And I was coming, I just got back, got in at about 9:30, and like 9 o'clock, I'll never forget, flipped on Copeland, a 30-minute program. Was going across the living room, going, Lee's already, because the kids were little, and she was just white a lot of times, she'd already been in bed. And I was getting ready to do a flying lesson the next day. And I walked across the living room, not really thinking about it, and I heard this voice, if you fly tomorrow, you'll die. What? Whoa, wait a minute. Well, my regular instructor, Leon, was not available, so I was going to fly with another guy to keep my hours going. But I was so sick in my gut, and Sister Jeannie Caldwell, my pastor's wife, had always told me, Gary, always go with your first impression. It's always better to be with God and behind than ahead, because you can always catch up. God will give you, if you miss it, God will give you grace and mercy to catch up. And I couldn't shake it. So that next morning, I called the instructor and said, listen, I can't make it. And he said, no problem. I can fill the hour, no problem. Well, guess what happened? I was on my sales territory, finished my last appointment a little early, and I thought, well, I'll swing by the airport, because I just still like to hang out at airports. Love airplanes. And I wheeled in there, and that's the guy's name, the owner. Hey, how you doing? I walked up there, and he's working on the plane, and he just pulled the cowling off, and he's looking at the engine and stuff, and I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I got to correct this, and we're just talking. And about that time, a police car comes swooping in. Lights going, it caught both of us off guard. Whoa. We both kind of jumped. And he said, hey, you. He talked to the owner. He said, you got airplanes out? He goes, yeah, I got an instructor out with one of the students. Why? He said, we just got a call from Little Rock that a plane went down. Well, you're going, and boy, all of a sudden, my little buzzer started going off. Well, man, he just drops everything. He makes a run for his van, and I follow him. We jump in, and we're thinking, where? And the cop, the police car is trying to, work the area to find out where the plane went down. Well, sure enough, we pull up on the site, and the plane went down. And that airplane, I would have been in that hour, picking up just like that. A young man, and the student was a guy named Randy Adcock. His father was my Sunday school teacher in the Assemblies of God Church I grew up for many, many years. I knew his brother Chuck. Chuck and I used to run together, and his little brother Randy. Randy was probably 4 or 5 years younger than me, and he was a student in that plane. Nothing happened to him. The flight instructor crushed his entire back and his vertebrae, and it's today still can't do anything. Randy came out with a busted ankle a little bit. I mean, not much. That plane was a mess. I mean, we couldn't repair it. And I saw the police and the ambulance, the different people there. So they came in. He had to worry about, you know, make sure the fuel, you know what I mean, nothing caught on fire or anything. I'll never forget. It was like, God, I heard these words. Aren't you glad you listened? I mean, that unnerved me bad when I saw that plane sticking like a dart. Holy Ghost will save your life. Don't listen. Do your best to stay sensitive to the Spirit. And the only way you can do that is through relationship. You got to be Spirit-led. It's a lifestyle. But if you're in sin, I'm not talking about missing it, you know, making mistakes. I'm talking about if you're doing things, though, it will hinder that voice. If you're so busy trying to pursue something, it'll hinder that voice. Are you with me tonight, or am I just talking? How many are willing to change if the Holy Ghost tells you to change? Now, we got to be sensitive. Why? Because we're getting ready to get into the harvest, and we got to be Spirit-led. We got to be sensitive to God to minister to people correctly. I love it. How many learned something tonight? And like I told you, my grandmother prayed her. She had cancer and 3 months to live when it was diagnosed. 1975. I saw my grandmother. I remember she had Jimmy Swaggart on. And she danced. The Holy Ghost told her. He said, I'm a gene. I'll show you how to heal yourself. Doctor gave up. She taught me this. In fact, she's wanted. I've been prophesied too many times. People have said, your grandmother was the one that got imparted to you this. She used to bring me around when I was in high school, junior high, and she'd say, honey, let's sit down at the table and let's invite the Holy Ghost. She no more hook am I, and that presence would feel. And I learned that presence. And I knew what it was. Well, when she got diagnosed with cancer, she just knew that she looked on the inside. She looked on the inside. And God said to her, Imogene, you can know I will all day, but you got to know I can for you. Cancer disappeared on the operating table. One of the greatest miracles and stories you can ever hear. But I saw her praise her way out of it. He said, Imogene, I'll show you how to heal yourself. Holy Ghost told her that. Now, you think I stood a chance? She'd tell me on what we did on Friday night on Saturday morning. She knew. You had a fight last night, didn't you? My papa would say, boy. Always talk his mouth for boy. Really, didn't have no teeth, you know. Boy. You better listen to your mama. She'll save that beep of yours. He's a little plain spoken, you know. She'd say, Marion, hush, not at the table. But you got to know that presence. And the only way you get it is by fellowship. That's the only way. Woo! Save your life. It'll heal your body. Show you how to make your farm successful. Your crops to grow when nobody else will. I got stories about that. I got proof in the pudding. I know guys that it's worked for. Holy Ghost told them, do this. Grow this. Naturally, they didn't need to grow it. And guess what? They grew it, and the market turned to their favor. time after time. You've got to listen to the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the Spirit of God. Father, we've shared and you prompted me today to share some of these experiences and times of how you saved Lee and I. Even when we were in dangerous situations in different places we've lived, in Tijuana and all the places, you told us how to get out of them. You told us how to deal spiritually with issues, with people. You told us how to, time after time, deliver our lives out of things. You've worked in our lives, God. And I thank you for that. Lee and I will continue as much as it, that is within us to press toward you and know you and spend time with you and always stay addicted to your presence. And our cry is that we may know you better through the power of your sufferings and through the power of your resurrection. Father, give this ministry the days ahead of the wisdom and understanding to embrace their future. For it is spiritually discerned and spiritually led that you walk into these things. And we know that, sir. And we render our lives to that, Jesus. We render our lives, for you're the head of the church and you're making an administrative shift in these things. And it is time that we hear your voice. It is time that we know you, Jesus. It's time that we know you, Jesus. If you're here and you've got an issue in your life, maybe a habit or something, what I talked about and you felt conviction come on the inside, it can be anything. But you'd say, Brother Gary, I'm fighting it, man. I'm wrong. I'm in sin. Or I'm missing it in this area. If that be you, I just want you to come up here and I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. I want to get in agreement with that thing that's broken. And that the Holy Spirit would flood your conviction or wisdom or understanding. If that be you, get up right now. Called to preach. You're called to preach. You know that? Listen to me, you're called to preach. When I saw you last night and this morning today, it hit me all day long. You're called to preach. There's some young people here that are in sexual sin. And when I say young people, I'm not, you can be 30, 40, you're young. You may be a teenager, I don't know. Maybe you got something on the internet you're looking at. Maybe you're in a relationship you shouldn't be. That's been on me all night long. The Lord is saying to stop it. To stop it. There are boundaries for that. And His Bible is very, His Word is very clear. If that be you, stop it. Stop it now. Listen, anybody can listen, as much junk as on TV and all this out there, anybody can succumb to that if you're not careful. I'm telling you tonight. I don't believe it's a young person. The Lord's saying, stop it. Stop it. He cares about you. Maybe nobody's ever said that here. Well, it's okay. We need more of this when the Spirit leads. I mean, I was at the gym today and was walking around the track between sets. I walked by and there was a magazine right there. It wouldn't. Big screen. Lady on that thing was good, but it's about health and all that. I thought, first thought, man, she's good looking. Second of all, you start scanning the articles there, and you just for information. And I'm thinking, process. Man, my boundaries came up so quick. And you say, really, there's nothing wrong with it if you just look at it. I mean, you know, your mind can go that way. But I heard that little voice as plain as day says, don't touch it. And you know what? I walked right on past. Why? Because I know that voice. And he ain't telling me that because he just bored and don't have nothing to do. But he don't want that seed in my heart. Are you with me in this? So that's the way you have to live your life. Something's on the TV that ain't good, just come on. Just keep going. Just repent. Just say these words. Jesus, forgive me. I apologize, sir, for my actions. You're a good God. And you're a merciful God. And Father, I agree with these, and I call them free. Free right now. My brother's free. Are you safe, sir? Spirit-filled? Good. You need to pray in tongues. You pray in tongues on a regular basis? You need to. Why don't you pray in tongues with me just a minute, can you? Think you can? You just repented. Well, there's an open heaven. Let's do that together. When's the last time you prayed in tongues? About 6 months ago? Why haven't you been doing it, man? Good. Caught up in the world, yeah. See what happens? It cuts off that flow, don't it? I'm telling you. Make you back off from God because of shame, man. Let me tell you something. You know when you sin or when you talk to God about it is not when he knew it when it happened. Never run from away from him. Run toward him. Always, even if you're in the midst of it, tell him, God, I need help out of this. Never run from him. Seriously. Give me a hand. Let's pray in tongues. There you go, there you go. Oh, yema, yeme nosso, yeme stana, yete, kone rebashti di derramashto du derremanaka. Yete didi. That's it, borre mana. God, I ask you to flood his heart with peace right now. Let that presence come on. Borre mara tere de rebra borre tenana. Oh, yema tere de brando. There it goes right there. Anointing of God. Anointing of God. Flooding God. Hallelujah. Renew his heart, God. There it goes right there. Oh, yes. Thank you, dear. It's right there. Oh, remada dana, so de remara bote de rabra bora. You need a mentor. You need a mentor in your life. You need a mentor in your life. I don't know what that there's de rabra bora about that. You need a mentor in your life. You need to talk to somebody. Do your parents go to church here? I mean, you know, no. Need a mentor. You need to come see him and talk to him. And let him help you. Because your heart wants out. You need some help. You need some clarity on some things. You need to learn how to set boundaries. You understand? He don't avail to you. You avail to him. Remember, pursuit is the proof of humility. God will put down the proud, but he will lift up the humble, it says. I mean, he'll bail your butte out of it. My wife gets on me about that word, but he'll bail you out. He'll let him. Woo! Father, right now, oh yeah, just Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord in her life, and we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Get out of it. 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 Get out of that relationship or whatever you need to do. Get out of it. How old are you? You're old enough to know better. What are you doing right now? You ain't supposed to be doing right. It's time to get out. But you know, you can't do it by yourself. You tried by yourself. You can't do it. You know I'm right. Am I right or am I wrong? Does it bug you? Fine, you're up here, ain't you? Yeah. Time to stop. Your heart's about to tear you up, isn't it? Yeah. Time to stop. You understand me? Time to stop. Time to get on with the call of God on your life. Quit playing games. You got a call of God on your life. I don't know where you are, but you got a heritage, boy. You got a heritage on you. I mean, you got something that came from your parents or somebody in your life, background, a grandparent or something. You understand me? You know I'm right. That's why your chin's quivering. You know I'm right. You know the anointing of God. You're not a babe, but you're totally responsible for your actions. You need to repent and get on with God and go to Bible school. I don't know what you're to do, but you got ministry on your life. You need to make yourself accountable. You're getting a workout tonight. You need to make yourself accountable. You need to come sit down and talk to him. He's available. You need to tell him what you've been doing. Ain't nothing going to surprise him. Believe me. And he's got the grace to help you. You need a spiritual father right now. And you need to get out of this. And you need prayer and you need accountability. You understand? You never get out from it. I render. A person of integrity will avail themselves of accountability. You want it. You want scrutiny because you know that makes you better. You understand that word, scrutiny? Okay. And he can help you. He can just tell you how it is and what you got to do. Because you got a call of God on your life, but you got to clean some things up first. You got to break the power over your life. And when you do, tell me, God's got a call on your life. You're to preach. In fact, you're to lead young people. What? Church calls it a youth pastor. I don't know, you know, whatever. A lot of titles for it. You got to call a God on your life. And you know I'm right. So stop doing the stupid things you're doing and get over it. And get right with God. Get accountable and let this man pastor you. Get a spiritual father. And go on with God, whatever you're to do. Because I'm telling you, you got it on your life. Just say these words, Jesus, forgive me. I've been doing things I ain't should have been doing. No, I've not. I shouldn't have been doing them. But forgive me. And I am so happy that you forgive. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I call him free. Free. Now. All the guilt to go. Now! Now. 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 This boy's got preach on him. Did he grow up here? Okay. Man, what are you doing? You ought to know better. I'm not condemning you, man. You got to get on with God. You got grace on you. And you know better. Your mom ought to take you up behind the woodshed and just wear you out. He's too big. You understand me? What that means? Okay. You need a spiritual father. Go sit down with him tomorrow morning or whenever and make yourself accountable. And it'll change. You're to preach. You got preach all over you. I'm not telling you nothing. You felt, you know the conviction of God. Just start doing right. Time. Hug him. Father, I agree. What's your name?
Jesse.
Father, I pray for Jesse right now. Father, I bless Jesse's life. Jesus, reveal yourself to Jesse. Demonstrate your love to Jesse. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good stuff, Jesse. Hang around here. Do you come to church here on a regular basis? You need to get back in. You need to get back in. You need to start coming to church faithfully. Okay? Bring that pierced nose and off, okay? Didn't that hurt?
Yeah.
Ugh. How many are with me tonight? Do they need to do anything or? Okay. Okay. Ayúdale. Jesus, we honor you. How many learned something tonight? You ready to go on? How many ready for that new model to come? I love it. God is good. God is good. Young lady? You. No, the one. Yeah, you're young, I agree. The one behind you. Who's that behind you? You've been, is that Rachel? Hi, Rachel. Where you been, Rachel? The kids? You been with the kids? Did you just come in? You go to church here, Rachel? You know what? You got a, I mean, you're a beautiful young lady. But you know what? You got a presence about you. Is that your mom and dad? Oh, that's yours. Okay. Rachel, you've got an anointing on your life. How old are you, Rachel? 16. Rachel, you've got an anointing on your life. You got an anointing on your life. When you came in that door, my spirit man jumped. Are you in a relationship you shouldn't be in? You ain't got a boyfriend, do you? Does he go to church here? Sometimes, is he living right? Is he living right? Can I tell you the truth? You do what you want. You need to judge that relationship. Because you got something to do for God. And no boy's worth God. Am I embarrassing you? No. You know what? Can I tell you the truth? And you can take it any way you want. Mom and dad are right here. It's okay to have friends that are boys. But you know what? Right now, where you are and what God wants to do with you, your life is very special. And the anointing of God, that's why my spirit man jumped when you walked in that door. It jumped right there. Jumped. That means there's something on your life. And they don't do it that often. And I want to tell you, your life is very special. And you need to break that relationship off. I think other people have told you that. You don't need to be hard-headed. You know why I'm talking to you like this? They didn't tell me, no, I didn't know who you belonged to. I had to ask. You know why? Because God cares about your life, and this is a warning. This is just to let you know. He has your heart at interest. In his heart. And you got a choice to make. Don't go the way of your friends. It's okay to have friends. But you know what's right and wrong. Am I right? You've been feeling God kind of talking to you about things? A little bit?
Yeah.
But other voices have been talking to you. You got to know on the inside. That's what you got to work with right there. And then that book. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Something's been going off in you. I don't know. I've seen you somewhere, but I made it this morning. But you're the blonde. What's your name? Agatha. I met you last night, Agatha. You're making some decisions right now, Agatha. You're making some decisions. Make the right one. Do you speak in tongues, Agatha? You want to speak in tongues? Good. I'm a little nutsy, so you got to forgive me, okay? But I think what some things that I said tonight really spoke to you.
And the reason I know that is because the anointing of God is on you and been on you in this service. And you're processing. Remember what it said about Peter? Perplexingly, he was thinking and meditating on what he had seen. You've been meditating on the things you've seen and you've been hearing. You want more of God, you just don't know how. And your head is giving you such a fib, you don't know what next. Some of it's family. Am I right? Yeah. And it's just starting to hit. See it? Come on up here. Come here. Can you help me here? Can you help me? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good. You're going to have to make some tough calls. You know what I mean by that? You're going to have to make some tough decisions to do what God wants you to do. You're going to have to. See, the convicting power of God has been over you all night. That doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. That just means He's digging with you to go higher, to increase. And you want more of God. You just don't know right from left right now because you got a lot of voices screaming in your head. Am I right or am I wrong? The family members have been critical. Even coming here, they've been critical. And we're going to lose that. And I'm just going to pray for you. But the Bible says, in Acts chapter 2, I want you to read this. And the reason I brought, first of all, shield in these certain scenarios, when I know in my spirit, I always have a covering. Second of all, you need a spiritual mama. You need somebody to help you walk this out. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what's going on in you, but you have a tremendous call of God and purpose of God all over your life. Sometimes we've got to have help to get that done in us. Understand what I mean? Yeah. But in Acts chapter 2, When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. And when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Now, first of all, it's you that got to do the speaking. Now, certain tradition says that the Holy Spirit did that so they could preach the gospel in many tongues to get the church started. Then it stopped. Well, I'm sorry to say it didn't stop. It continued. So first of all, you got to remember, it's the Spirit who gave the utterance that they spoke. Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't take you over and possess you and cause you to move your tongue like a dog's tail. You got to do the speaking because the Spirit of God is already there. And what was given was released and it's already there and it's there today. So it's very easy and all you got to do is believe. So like, did Jesus appear to you when you got saved? No. You just trusted the word that was preached, didn't you? And you acted with the same way. You got to trust that word that is said. And the Holy Ghost is right there. The Holy Ghost is right there. And all you got to do, you got to remember, He's already in you. And all you're going to do is release that prayer language. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not essential for salvation. You go to heaven without it. But the reason Jesus gave it, it's another experience and it's something additional that we add to our salvation to give us power. That's why Acts 1, he said, go and carry that you may be endued with power from on high. That word power is the Greek word dunamis, which we get the word dynamite from. There's a power. It's a power to help you minister and help you in your life walking with God. You understand? So it's a separate experience. But the way that it's manifested is that we speak in other tongues. The Bible says when we pray in other tongues, we pray mysteries to God. Now, I can pray in English. I can pray in Spanish. I can pray in a little bit of German. You know what? I can pray in tongues. And the same way that I speak in English, I speak in tongues. But it don't come from here. It comes from here. That's the difference. The Bible says you speak mysteries to God. It comes out of your spirit. It's right there. Right there on the inside. And that's what you, that's how it comes. So, Señor, te doy gracias por tu presencia en esta noche, Señor, por la palabra, por la, tu, la, see, I can start off in Spanish. I can claim, God, I love you. My German is so bad, I don't know if I need to do it anymore. But then, cool, Rabaki, shad, they get to the man. I can scratch my head, corn, the rim, and about the baby, shana, and about it. I can lift one leg, brand the man, about the man, shana. Because, see, it's not me, it's coming out of my heart. What am I saying? I have no idea. Sometimes I know, because the Holy Spirit reveals it. But other times I don't. But the Bible says you pray in tongues, you charge yourself like a battery. There's great benefits. And I don't have time to get in that. It's where a spiritual mama comes in. You need a spiritual mama. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for you. Are you ready? Do you want it? Good. But I'm saying God's been all over you all night long. There is the leading of the Spirit. There is the Holy Ghost. Good. Agatha, let's pray together. Now what we're going to do is you repeat with me. We're going to ask for that experience. And then I'm going to say, actually, you start praying. I don't want you praying in English, Spanish, or whatever language you know. I want you to take a step of faith, because the same way you speak English will be the way you pray in tongues. It's just, it's already there in you. It's just going to come out of your spirit. You say, well, I don't know what I'm saying. It don't matter. I don't know what I'm saying. And also, by the way, everybody's prayer language is different. Everybody, all of them, she sounds different than I do. And I know she sounds different because I heard it. Now, you pray. See the difference? Now you pray. Now that's weird, isn't it? But everybody. Now he said he's praying like he's getting out of business. Well, see, you got your own prayer language. It'll come out of you, whoever you are, whatever you'd be in God. Everyone in this room prays differently. If I lined them all up, I'd prove the evidence. So, it's in you. So we're going to pray together. And there's going to be something that's called that unction. Remember, he gave the utterance, but you got to move your tongue. You got to speak out. And it may sound, it may be one syllable. Your prayer language develops. Mine has developed over the years. As you grow in God, and the more you do it, sometimes it changes, sometimes just, and I don't, be honest, I don't understand it all. But, oh, let me tell you the difference. Jesus, I love you, and I am so thankful that you died for me. I am your daughter, and I say that proudly. I love you. Oh, Rebota. Now, I ask you for this experience that you told your disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry for, or wait for. I ask you now for that manifestation in my life. I love you, sir. I do love you. I receive now. Let it go. It's right there. It's already in you. Remember what I said? That's it. You got to do it again. You got anything here? Let me know. There it goes. You got to get past the fear. There it goes, right there, yeah. Baram borra borra ki de 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 ramash da 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 da. Let it go. Right there, baby. Right there. See, that's, you're doing it. Just, it don't matter what it sounds like. Let it go. It's right there. Kura mashtana mata. Mata. Mata shanda. Mata de de brana. Yidu tene brana. Kude de ramashtona. Yana re murshan de rabashtona rabashtan de rebra borra mata de bramota. Yostan do remashto do remata de de banana rebramba dore. Conso de Rabosana Rebrambura Senda Rapata. Yeah, there it is right there. There it goes. 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 Oh, that's beautiful. There's stars and stars. Here in Marabura Bate de Ramusha de Rabura Parabukukura. Oh, Remare Baradora Bate de. You feel that thing coming out of you? Dore Mane na 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 na. Give utterance to it. Give utterance to it. Just speak it out. Not in English. because you want to pray in English, don't you? Oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want you. Whatever comes out. But don't do that. Just let it go. Take a step of faith. Maybe one syllable. It's right there, babe. It's right there. I've worked with people sometimes for a period of time. I know she has. She's a pastor. It'll come, I mean, it'll hit you like a ball peen hammer. You've been hit, you ever hit your finger with a hammer? Oh! It'll reveal all you are on the inside out. Right? It'll hit you like that. And it'll come out. And you know what? Sometimes it's just one syllable. And that's why I always ask people, because it's not some mystery thing that you know, you get real Pentecostal about, and you got to do this and do that and all that, you know? That scares me too. I mean, I've been places, went in the door, right, went right out the door. I thought, God, I got to preach here. Scared me. They scared me, and I've been around, I grew up in. My grandmother used to run. My grandmother could dance, Holy Ghost to get on. She'd just dance, close her eyes, never hit nothing. I mean, you know, boy, if you don't know what it's all about, that'd just scare the heaven out of you. But what happens is that one syllable will come and you'll have this. Like you ever dry heave? Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And what you got to do is trust that the Spirit of God leads you. And you go, bah, bah. And I've heard people, bah, 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 you know, whatever. So there'll be a syllable. It may just be an expression that comes. And that's what you yield to. And it was right there on your lips. You know? I love it. Ever think about it stutters? It's right there. Just right there. That guy on the movie, Burt Reynolds. Never forget it. He tried to say something. He'd finally get out. They'd wait. It's right there. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! You know, you got God all over you. There's an anointing on your life. You got ministry on you. You understand what that means? Yeah. There's your spiritual mama. You need to walk with her. You ever heard those things like a cat on a hot tin roof? You know what that means? Cat wants to get off that roof as soon as possible, and that's probably the way you feel right now. Listen, God, listen. Agatha, it's so open. Man has made this stuff sometimes hard to get. Man, it's real. It's like a scientific formula. You do the right thing, it'll come out. And I want you to know it's available and it's real. Too many things in our lives prove it, my life. I mean, you could beat me with a bat and say it ain't real, and I'd say I'm sorry it is, because I got proof. Then slipped over, ain't coming back. But it's real. God's all over your life. And you need to be nurtured in this thing. You need to be counseled in it. You understand what I mean? Okay. And there's a spiritual mama. Don't avoid her. You've avoided her. Because she scares you. Because you know why she comes after you? Because she sees God all over you. Anyway. And you need to avail yourself of that. So you're hungry. You wouldn't have been there last night. A lot going on in your life right now. A lot of processing, a lot of thoughts. Wheels just turning. And we need help to figure that out. So you gonna go and bug her? Pastors love to be bugged. But just need to talk out to me. I mean, you need to say, hey, help me, show me. And listen, if you got God all over your life, and there's a divine destiny set for you. Understand me? I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Life of Jesus, obedience to God, is the most wonderful thing in the world. I think it reaps eternal reward. You know we won't be in heaven with God after this, right? When this life's over. And what you do here affects that. And you got God all over you. Give her a hug. And she may have something to say to you or whatever, I don't know, but spiritual mama's kind of come up with things.
Her mouth to sing the praise song that was on her radio. Instead of English coming out, she came out. She was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's where she quit thinking about it. So it's there. So don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. You have it. It just needs to be manifest. And it'll come. It may wake you up. The Holy Ghost may wake you up in the middle of the night. I don't know how it's going to happen to you. But you'll see. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, get in there. I need to learn something. Well, I'm through.
Are you?
So y'all, some of you are pulling on me to leave, and that starts weighing on me. And I get sometimes I get into that pressure. You'll wait on the Holy Ghost. Young lady, can I pray for you? Come here. You know when you see Rachel and when Rachel comes here, wherever they are. You know when Rachel comes? Oh, my secretary. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. You wait when you see Rachel and you see her. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my Lord. There's another Rachel babe. And she works for me. And she looks a lot like you. I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you this. You got God all over your life. And you got to quit being hard-headed. And you know I'm right. You got conviction that runs in you. And I'll tell you again, you got to break it off for that boy. He ain't good for you. I don't know who he is. If he's here, I'd whoop him. And be probably two or three guys I could get to bail in with me. You know what? I got an 11-year-old daughter who's blonde and gorgeous. She don't look like nothing like me. Thank God. But you know what? Can you imagine the hard time I'm gonna give any boy that comes around the house? I'm gonna hang a body bag in my garage. I'm gonna put on it one size, paint on it one size fits all. And through my contact, I know some dirty judges in Mexico, and I'll just tell them I'll knock your head, put you in the trunk, and carry you. If I get you across the border, you're done. My wife just says, you're nuts enough to do it, you know. I'm trying to be light-humored with you, but I'm trying to also say God's got a call over your life. And you got to pursue God. Because it's very real, because I'm telling you, knowing God is on you, the purpose of God is on you. When you walk in that door, my spirit man jumps. He jumps strong in me. That means the presence of God is on you. That means there's a divine purpose on your life. That's your call. But I want to bless you. Father, I pray right now for Rachel. I ask you to bless her life right now. Father, show her who you are right now. Reveal to her right now. Here it goes. There it goes. Oh, yeah, there it goes, Rachel. There it goes. In his words, Rachel, know who I am. Know who I am. Know who I am. That's the heart of a father to a daughter. Know who I am. Know who I am. Just a
Spirit I got in you. You know what that is? It's anointing. Listen, you got to obey God. And if I embarrass you, I apologize. Okay, but you got God all over your life. Remember that. You're blessed. And you need to go hug those folks right over there. And you need to listen to them. You ever had trouble listening to them sometimes? No, they're pretty good, aren't they? Your dad's got the grace on his life. The reason I'm hard on you, because I'm feeling God demands excellence, and excellence costs. Excellence is painful. And that we don't get to do sometimes what we want to do. And if I bothered you or embarrassed you, I apologize again. But that's what I felt in my spirit. And when you walked in that door, I jumped. I want to remind you of this. The anointing of God jumped in me. And so she's got divine purpose written all over her life. So you need to judge that, okay? You need to see what's right and wrong. I love you. Appreciate you. Everybody ready? Ready for the next step? You ready for the next step? I'm ready. I'm getting ready. Come here. On the soundboard. Come here. I guess that's the soundboard, yeah. Come here. Good stuff. How old are you? 24, yeah. Old enough to know better? Yeah. I work on that too. You beat 45 and you're old enough to know better. Yeah. But the only reason I'm telling you that is just I'm picking on you. The anointing of God is on you. He sent you for a reason here. You don't know everything in your future. You get whims of things sometimes. Sitting in here. And you know, it can't be. Knowing God's on you in a very special way. And you know that presence. And you know what? You know one of the things the Lord said to me about you? You're a lover of people. You really love people. And that comes out of you. People know that. And he wants you to know that God knows that. He knows your Father knows that. But he put that trait in you. You got a very gentle spirit. You're a good man. And heaven wants you to know that. You're perfect now, but you're a good man. You got responsibility. You got to walk in that responsibility. Heaven's got something for you. You got it. And you know what I'm saying to you. These are my words very selectively. Father, I thank you. You ever sing in the spirit? You like that, don't you? Do you sing regular or just are you making noise? Do you good? I make a noise. Yeah, my wife tells me, honey, you make a noise. Lee won like state competition and Driscoll or something like that. High school, Arkansas. And she tells me, baby, you make a noise. I love you. Keep making it. But honestly, I sing in the spirit. And God loves to hear it, even if it's a noise. It'll draw you in. And it'll set the foundation. It'll set your heart for your future. He loves you getting wisdom. You know that, right? Now, Father, we thank you for the next level in life. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you for that next level, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Ramanda. Llega Sando. Oh, we love you, Lord.
And we bless you. The next level, the next level, the next level, the next level, the next level. Quick work, a quick work. I can do it, man. No shun, do it, man. Yere bro no, rando unda shai. No ramande, kono shoto. Everybody sing with me. Konda ramande, alisondo. If you need healing in your body, lift your hands right now. Just lift your hands. Healing in your body, anything. Headaches are going right now. Headaches are going right now. Sinus infections are going right now. Pain in backs are going right now. Disc issues in the back are going right now. They're going. If you've had an ailment or something, start checking it out. Start moving, checking it out. If you had a headache and you had pain, look, check it out right now. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Rembromo na remana rebastando remandi shondo koshi na na na. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, now, thank you for that impartation. Next level, a new level. A new level of spiritual understanding. A new level. You need to pray 2 hours a day in tongues. You're single, you can do it. You got to pray 2 hours a day. There's discovery in that. There's a discovery in that. You ever pray 2 hours in tongues? No, it's all right. I had to work myself into it. I got to where I could pray 3 to 4 hours and I stopped. But he took a period of time and I just pushed the flesh, pushed the flesh, pushed the flesh. And I did that for years when I was young, your age. I was on the mission field. And I did. I just set a practice. And I'd just stay up and I'd just pray. I'd stand up because I'd sit down and go sleep. But I'd make myself pray in tongues. I mean, most of the time it's dry as powder can. I mean, it's dry. Every once in a while, God, as Brother Hagin said, he'd go to watch. The more understanding came to my life, and more growth came to my life out of that than anything else. Konda rema no 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 stana. Yere mo rema no ni na na na. I mean, many times Lee would go to bed. I mean, it'd be 1, 2 in the morning. But I had this thing I had to get out. It's called my future. You seek it, did it, broke a good, the breath of did it, and I'd walk. Walk the neighborhood. Walk the hat in the living room, just whatever. Give the rain my breath. I were holding the floor. I just got bad red by cat, boom, by cat, bush, stop that, by cat. Then, and I finally started getting what I was addicted to. And if I didn't do it, I missed it. Because I like what I got out of it. You know what I mean? I love the benefits of it. But under wisdom and understanding started coming to me. And I'd get ministry situations. And really the gift of the Spirit began to fill my life like a flood. Saw the most creative miracles in belief. And that's what you got to have now. Because there's an event possibly in your future that you got to now start to press it for. Because you're going to have supernatural wisdom because experience won't render it to you. Sometimes you can just get by with just living it out and walking it out when you're 45, 50. But when I was in ministry, I had to encounter some things that I knew we were getting ready to walk into 29, 30, living in Tijuana. And the staff and everything we had, I had to have wisdom because I was done with the post sometimes. And I prayed out that I got it. And as your future, you're going to be injected in some things possible beyond your natural years. Because the anointing in your heart will place you there. You understand what I mean by that? Okay. Good. But you got to pray it out. You got to get in tongues. So I'm talking about long sessions in tongues. Day after day. Month after month. Because it'll set your future. And it'll equip you. And brighten up your strong fight in a gym or something. I mean, just talk like bufra. You stung gure bakote. Gunda stung gure mafrombate. And man, just things start happening. Things in the spirit start happening. Visions will happen to you. Encounters with God, and you never know when they're coming. But they opened me up. They taught me things. And you got to do that. Just bear witness with me.
Just start 30 minutes and just stay there. Set your clock, put it on the calendar, put your day timer or your CDA, whatever you use, and sit there. And just talk about that. Walk, do whatever you do. I can't sit and pray, I gotta walk. Me and Scott serve. Y'all know Scott? Me and Scott used to pace. We used to make people nervous. We paced so much. He still paces. Yeah, when I call him sometimes, he'll say, "Bat, you still pacing?" I said, "Yeah, what about you?" And he said, "Yeah." Me and him, we were in the ministry down in Panama. Me and him would pace. Oh, Lord Jesus. Make people nervous. We'd get to walking so fast. But however you got to get it done, you get it done. Do-re-ma-ta-ta-ta. Sometimes it helps to put music on, like Hillsong or women, whatever you like. Corremando, because it'll set the atmosphere. And I did that a lot. Just put my Walkman on. And I had a lot of integrity. And I'd listen. I'd walk the neighborhood late at night. Late at night. Corremando, remando, and I'm convinced years ago I prayed out what I'm walking into now. Relationship. We and I are going to give $1 million a day away to world. And you know what? I can actually see how to do it now. But it'll take years to get there. Development. You'll have to develop it. But I can see it. I can literally see it now. Not there. But there'll be a day it'll hit. I may be 30 years from now. There it goes. You'll lead. You're going to lead. Oh, you're going to lead in what you don't understand. Now. Increase now in the anointing. Increase now in understanding. Increase now. Increase now. Thank you, Jesus. Always give place to spiritual things first. Listen to me. Spiritual things first. I don't care what you got to do. Spiritual things first. And God will make up. Spiritual things first. And folks, you'll always, I got proposals I've got to get out. You don't believe I told you. They're sitting on my laptop ready. I tell you one thing after another. You know what? They mean nothing when it comes to spiritual things. Are you listening? Don't get so carnal minded that you're no heavenly good. Is this clear? Thank you, Jesus. And so you've got to learn to be patient and quiet. Funny Night Football's on an ESPN. My mind's already been thinking about this. Go on. I've got research to do right now. 2 or 3 hours. Right now. I need to do it. Right now. On the internet. I just go down the list. But it is nothing compared to spiritual things. Man, my brain all afternoon, right, man. We were sitting at lunch. And I just kept hearing that Spirit of God say, you got to be free tonight. You got to be free tonight. I want to do some things. And see, if I get caught up in this, I can't flow like this. He said, I don't want TV on. I don't want that laptop on. I want you to take an antler with the rest of your body. I want you to go to the gym. He said, I want you clear. I said, God, I'm sitting at lunch. We're at lunch, and my brain's going, but we're talking. I mean, I got all, I got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Are you with me? If you listen to the Holy Ghost first, 2 hours a day, it'll change your life. Start 30 minutes and just feel. Watch the clock. I watch the clock, man. I'm serious. I used to watch the clock. 30 minutes, I'm on front. Just walk. Just out of discipline. I've determined I'd do it. Just do it. And you fight it. You fight the flesh. You can't eat just what you want to eat. And you're not doing too bad. I'm not saying that to you. I'm talking about me. Yet say no. Man, I wanted the key lime pie so bad today. God, I wanted that key lime pie. But you know what? You have to say no. Why? Because the way you live out of your soul and your mind will determine your spiritual success. And sometimes you just got to buffet your body. I may be spitting in the wind there, but it's bottom line. 2 hours a day. You got a lot in your future you don't understand yet. You got to pray it out. You got to get it prepared. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I ain't telling you nothing. But you got a great future in God. I know it. I don't even believe it. I know it. Others know it. Father, we honor you today. We thank you for what you've done tonight. We give all the glory to you. No man receives any honor, but all to you, Father. We honor you today. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless you for this ministry. Lee and I agree with Pastor Lenore and this staff and this body right now. We agree for the future. It is strong. It is good. It is right. It is perceived. It is understood. And we will obey you. They will obey you, Jesus. They will obey you, Jesus. And we thank you for it. And all of God's people said, God's good, ain't he? You know the word ain't in the dictionary, by the way. Still bugs my mom that I use it. She's a retired Little Rock English school teacher, but she gets over it. But anyway, amen? I drive her nuts. I just said, ain't it right, Mama? Amen? It's all yours.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've heard from God, haven't we? I want to clarify. I know that Pastor used to say this, but Brother Gary knew nothing about any of you. He did not know who was on staff, who was not on staff. He did not know board members. He did not know anything about any of you that were here. And last night when we had the leaders meeting at our house, if you notice, I introduced you by first name only, purposely, when he came in. And so what was imparted tonight was all by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I just want to reiterate that. When we have ministries that come in like this, we don't talk to them. We don't tell them anything. They don't know what is going on. They don't know what's going on in Brother Cole's life. They don't know what's going on in any of your lives. So it's all by the Holy Ghost. We do that purposely so that there won't be any hindrance. Amen? So well, if you were ministered to tonight, then just receive that from God. And know that God has spoken to you, and then obey. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I would ask Pastor Jeff and Miss Dallas if they would greet the people. I have some business to take care of in the office with Miss Diana, and so they will greet you as we have one last going out song.